You know, it's my great pleasure right now to introduce to everybody a man who really needs no introduction.
Carl.
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 Carl. Dragon.
King.
Carl. I'm not calling the fans geeks. I'm not calling them rednecks, tobacco chewing nothing, because I've done all that myself.
Carl.
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 Carl. Dragon.
King. Carl.
In your dreams, you will see me.
Excuse me, please, let's don't talk negatively.
I'm going to win the title. I'm going to keep my money and buy me some good old Tennessee drinking whiskey with it.
Thank you for being such a great husband.
And this is for you, Fannie Mae. Solid gold, baby, just like you and me.
Hey, everybody. Carl Stern here for the When It Was Cool Wrestling Podcast. Or if you're listening over at WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com, it's the Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show. And in our rotation of classic wrestling shows, we try to look at a different aspect of classic retro pro wrestling every week. And to keep that interesting, I have a schedule I go by. Some weeks we look at from the pages of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, where we take a look at one of Dave Meltzer's obituaries, biographies, history pieces. Then we do the GKT, the Greatest Kayfabe Tournament, which is a fictional tournament where we can kind of have a little fun with a couple wrestlers who are famous historically and at the same time learn a little biographical information about them. We also talk about past pro wrestling cards, the history of pro wrestling at Madison Square Garden. We talk about the long form history of wrestling, of which we're up to 1983. And now this one has been added to the rotation of shows where I take a classic wrestling magazine and we look at it, see what it's talking about, look at the time period it dropped in, and I kind of have a little fun with that. Now, my favorite magazines were always the TV sports, the Weston magazines, often called in the newsletters the Apter magazines because of senior editor Bill Apter. I liked those because they covered, you know, all the different territories, all the different promotions. It was Pro Wrestling Illustrated, Inside Wrestling, The Wrestler, Wrestling, you know, 85, 86, 87, Wrestling USA. There were multiple of these newsstand magazines. And in fact, at any point in time in, from say 1980, about 1984 through about 1989, you could go to a grocery store or a drug store or supermarket or, you know, anything like that, a bookstore maybe, and any given month there would be 8 to 10 of these magazines on the bookshelf. I mean, it really was the internet before the internet. Now, I know Dave doesn't really hold the magazines in that high of esteem. He has a kind of a negative view of them and whatever. But I'm telling you, they were very, very important. As a fan growing up in the late 1970s into the 1980s, and, you know, fan all the way up to today, these magazines at a certain point in time were how you learned about wrestling and other promotions, how you learned about, hey, my favorite star is no longer in my territory. Where are they at now? You could find out through the magazines. You could learn about people you've never seen. I've talked recently on a show about Mil Máscaras on the cover of one of those. Mil Máscaras never came to a promotion I watched. He did supposedly make an appearance in Memphis at a Mid-South Coliseum show one time, but he was never on television. He never came to Southeastern or Continental Wrestling, Georgia Championship Wrestling. Like, I never got to see him. But following him through the pages of that magazine, I knew who he was. I didn't get to see Harley Race that often, but I knew who he was. Nick Botwinkle, I didn't get AWA where I lived. And, you know, so anything that happened there, I learned about through the magazines. And these were very, very important. And classic wrestling fans from this time period, really, I by and large, have a lot of good memories of the newsstand magazines. Today, we're going to take a look, though, at one that's outside of that sphere of publishing. This is a single company magazine. We're going to take a look at the May 1993 issue of the WWF magazine. And I know a lot of people hold this magazine in high esteem. It was glossy, colorful, was a lot more high, a lot higher production values than were the, you know, Western magazines. And of course, WWF historically, you know, the most popular pro wrestling promotion there was out there. And so many people have very fond memories of that. I never really cared for the WWF magazine. I probably bought, well, I mean, not probably, I for sure bought a few of them over the years when I was growing up, but not that many, because I was more a fan of, you know, the NWA style of wrestling, Crockett Promotions, Georgia Championship Wrestling, Southeast, World Class, Watts. I was more of a fan of that more serious, or at least dramatic and violent type of wrestling than I was the more cartoonish, generic WWF matches. I found WWF a lot of times either too boring or too cartoonish. And so I didn't buy a lot of their magazines, but still, they were the big show in town. I mean, they were the main event, and if you know, from time to time, periodically, they would have something that interested me, a personality or a storyline. And so along the way, I bought a few of these magazines. But in 1993, the world had changed. The territories were dead, D-E-A-D, dead. The only one that was really still left was USWA, which was the remnants of the Memphis promotion, and the Dallas World Class office. But they were struggling. Smoky Mountain Wrestling was out there, but Smoky Mountain Wrestling never rose above a certain level. It was not as big as many of the territories I'd watched previously. It was kind of like the last holdover of old school style wrestling. WCW and WWF were the two big shows in town. AWA was out of business at this point in time. And WCW was struggling, really struggling. And honestly, WWF was too. This was the era of the scandals and so forth. And so I was going to be interested to look and see what this magazine has to offer. The reason I chose it is because prominently featured on the cover is Hulk Hogan. Yes, red and yellow Hulk Hogan. He looks to still, you know, be basically as recognizable as Hulk Hogan ever was. He is somewhat smaller. This was the era of, hey, everybody get off steroids and stuff. And it would be only, you know, the following year, 1994, that Hulk Hogan would show up in WCW. And he would be a much more slender Hulk Hogan. But as we know, after, you know, kind of a stumbling out of the gate, when he finally turns heel a couple more years after that, the NWO rises, things take off, you know, hugely. But here we have Hulk Hogan on the cover, looking like Hulk Hogan ever did in an era past the Hulkamania era. So let's look at this. There's going to be some nostalgia with this, even from 1993. The cover says across the top, very garish green color, it says, Sean discusses drop kicks and doink clowning around. I presume this to mean Shawn Michaels, but we'll find out. Maybe it's Sean Mooneyham. I don't know. Sean somebody discusses drop kicks and doink clowning around. Hulk Hogan, he's back with a vengeance and with a heart. And the heart is spelled H-A-R-T. So what's that going to be all about? Andre, we remember his bigger-than-life career. So I guess this would be very close to the post-Andre the Giant's death. In fact, it may be covered in depth in this issue. We'll see. Bret Hart at his Calgary home. Yokozuna slings mud and salt at America's Pride. That sounds corny and goofy. Randy versus the Babe. Savage tells all about his baseball prowess. And we know Randy Savage was, in fact, a legit baseball player. Legitimate baseball skills. So maybe we'll get a behind-the-scenes sort of look there. All right. We flip inside, and we have a house ad for new WWF Video Classics. Yes, our old Coliseum Home Video page. I love this. I can't tell you over the years how many Coliseum Home Videos I've rented. I think many of them have made their way onto what is the WWE section of Peacock. I no longer subscribe to that, so I have no real idea, but used to love these Coliseum Home Videos. Silver Vision presents Coliseum Video Releases. New WWF video classics available now from all good video stores. And yes, gosh, I rented these. And here we have big pictures of the faces of Bret Hart and Razor Ramon, and they are hawking the Royal Rumble 1993, every top WWF star. And they're also hawking WWF 1992, the year in review. And there is a, there's a little ad about how to, get more information on Coliseum Home Videos. The next page is our table of contents. We've got photographically represented here. Giant Gonzalez is here. The former Elegante. Yes, Giant Gonzalez. He has somebody, looks like maybe Jim Powers or somebody. He's got them gripped around the face, looking all ridiculous in his man fur outfit. There's a photo of Andre the Giant choking Hulk Hogan. Looks like that's from WrestleMania 3. A photo of the neon-clad Randy Savage, and a photo of, it looks like, Owen Hart drop-kicking a Samoan of some sort. I'm not sure which of the various Samoan wrestlers that is, but probably Samu from the looks of it, but I'm just guessing. All right. Next page. For faster service, follow these directions. Yes, we can subscribe to the World Wrestling Federation magazine. And also, they're apparently running a cross promotion with the American Red Cross titled Headlock on Hunger. So that is their do good thing for the month, I guess. Posters. 5 posters on sale at newsstand now. So yes, another house ad. They are trying to sell a Bret Hart poster, a Razor Ramon poster. That's a pretty good looking Razor Ramon poster, actually. Shawn Michaels and Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig. So that's a giant wasted page. All right, here we go now. Around the ring with... So this is going to be, our news page here. In case we present an article that has deeply moved everyone on the staff, or excuse me, in this issue, rather. So there's a little paint smudge here. In this issue, we present an article that has deeply moved everyone on the staff. A tribute to the late Andre the Giant, the eighth wonder of the world. Physically, Andre towered over the huge titans of the World Wrestling Federation as no other. And so did the presence of his unique personality. Andre was eminently respected by his colleagues in the ring. You could see he evoked a sense of wonderment, even in such legends as Hulk Hogan. So we get a little extra hoorah about Andre the Giant here. Oh, great, great ad. This is a non-house ad. Hawking the home video game Double Dragon 3, the arcade game. Ah, this is awesome. Love those Double Dragon games. It was ridiculous. You know, fighting games. They had weapons and such. There's a dude on the front cover of this Double Dragon 3, the arcade game. It's his real martial arts action. This guy has a giant blonde mohawk. Looks sort of like, a giant blonde flat top. Looks sort of like Guile from Street Fighter, except not. It's like the Dollar General Guile. He's holding some kind of spike club and some sort of chained nunchuck-looking weapon. Deadly weapons, it says. Yeah. Get you some. Sega Genesis. And didn't have a Sega Genesis, but that looked pretty awesome. The Fan Forum. Yes, I guess this is where we have letters, both real and imagined, about your favorite stars. We won't go through some of this silliness, but if you know Ricky DiDio, if that is in fact a real person from Vidor, Texas, if you're listening to this, shout out to you. And Amy Ration from Stamford, Connecticut. Imagine that. That's got to be a fake person, right? And on the page is a giant picture of Kurt Hennig. So far, there has been nothing of substance in this magazine. We're 8 pages in, and it's been nothing but ads and filler. Join, here's more filler, a house ad, another one. Join the official WWF 1993-1994 fan club. Yes, give us some more of your money for some junk. Here's what you'll get. So if you signed up for this fan club, what's happening here? All new fan club cassette 4, an 8-minute cassette tape of your favorite superstars theme music. Okay, well, that's pretty cool for '93-'94. You know, a precursor of things to come where WWF would license and market their music here. In the days just before that, get an 8-minute cassette with some of your favorite superstars theme music. I wonder if it had Demolition's theme, and that was always my favorite. Love Demolition's music. You also get an official Wallet ID membership card, because of course you do. Why you would ever need that, who knows, but all these fan clubs, that was one of their goofy gimmicks. Exclusive World Wrestling Federation 18x18-inch bandana. Well, I guess that's all right. At least we've got something tangible there you can wear to get beat up with at school. The Undertaker's Rest in Peace door hanger. All right. A fan club notepad. Yes, leftover stationery from Titan Towers. Fan club notepad. Yeah, more stationery. Hulk Hogan pen topper with ballpoint pen. Oh, yeah. Oh, and here's a picture of the Do Not Disturb Undertaker door hanger, and it actually is pretty cool. It does say, in fact, Do Not Disturb with a cartoon drawing of the Undertaker. Rest in peace. So that's actually a decent-looking little gimmick there. Superstar photo collage. So I guess that's something they can print out there at the magazine. Plus, in addition to, also containing membership certificate, valuable savings off World Wrestling Federation magazine subscription and merchandise. Yes, coupons to get you to buy more merchandise. As an official fan club member, you will also receive our newsletter, Fanfare. I guess that's the name of the newsletter. Don't really say. Perhaps they just cheer you on in their office. They go, yay, Carl, woo, fan club member. Get it, son. Wow. All right, maybe that's what you got. I don't know. Plus, within one of the issues of, okay, it is named Fanfare. Within one of the issues of Fanfare, I was hoping it was little, like, trumpets and those little things you blow on that shoots out the little, like, streamer-looking deal. It goes, meh. Yeah, I was hoping that was what they meant. But anyway, you will receive a pass for a free ticket to a live World Wrestling Federation event. Okay, well, now that's pretty cool. That's kind of worth your price there if you live near somewhere that WWF visits. And you get all this for $10.95 plus $2.50 shipping and handling. That is a total, they tell us, although that doesn't seem to add up right, of $13.45. That is not what $10.95 plus $2.50 is, I don't think. Maybe it is. Oh, I thought it was $10. It's $10.95. Okay. I guess me needing my reading glasses. Maybe the fan club should have sent me some reading glasses. I have some here somewhere, but I'm too proud to wear them. Page 10, there is Bobby the Brain Heenan. Yes, there in all his glory, one of the great, one of my favorite manager of all time. Love Bobby the Brain Heenan. This is his article called Brainstorms. I presume this is ghostwritten for him, or maybe not. I don't know. Oh, here he's using insider terminology. So Bobby Heenan, we presume, says, as this dirt sheet hits the newsstand, humanoids, the World Wrestling Federation is in the midst of a world tour. That's right. Fans in such countries as Belgium, Germany, the United Kingdom, Ireland, Spain, and Italy will be treated to the best wrestling action on the planet. This is most definitely ghostwritten by somebody else. They will also be treated to me, Bobby the Brain Heenan. You see, I called TCA, the official travel agency of the World Wrestling Federation, more product placement there, and book my flights and hotels, first class all the way. I will be appearing in those towns, and I will be taking everybody for all they've got when I get there. And you can believe me when I tell you that I know how to take people for what they've got. So there we go. Interesting little silliness there. Obviously not written by Bobby Heenan. Yet another house ad. This thing has been far more house ads than anything. A perfectly sensational matchup. WWF Magazine and Mr. Perfect. 12 issues, only $20. 24 issues, only $35. And I guess the only thing Mr. Perfect has to do with it is they're using his picture as a backdrop for this page. All right, news beat, hot off the presses. And wow, right there in the middle of the page, we've got one of Barry Darsall had many terrible gimmicks. He had a few good ones, Demolition Smash, Crusher Crew Chef. Those are all right. But he had many bad ones. One of them was the Repo Man, and one of the worst incarnations of that was the Repo Man with the actual over-the-head zebra-striped mask and zebra-striped singlet. I know it's supposed to be tire tracks on a white suit, but anyway, he looks terrible in this. He's gotten fat and pudgy. This outfit looks dumb. Repo Man is sporting a new tire tread pattern on his wrestling tights. He says, that's not all that's new about the Repo Man. I'm going to do some real damage, says Repo. I guess that's his first, they call him by his first name, Repo. People who mess with me are going to feel as if they've been hit with a tire iron. Knowing what a sneak Repo Man is, his words should be taken as a warning by his future competitors. He's likely to have some ugly tricks up his sleeve, and maybe elsewhere as well. Ha ha! Get a picture of the very cartoonish-looking Paul Bearer holding the urn. He says, what's in the urn? Another source of conjecture that we have been hearing about of late in the World Wrestling Federation is the funerary urn that is carried by Paul Bearer, and from which The Undertaker seems to derive a strange and unnatural power. What does the urn contain? Man, this is just lightweight filler stuff here, man. Behind the mask, Doink the Clown. There's a photo of Doink standing there holding a box. I presume this being Matt Bourne. Doink the Clown certainly looks like him from this photo. Speculation continues about the real identity of the sick clown, Doink. Not only fans, but also wrestlers are pondering the question of just who this creep really is. Obviously, he is a veteran wrestler, but who? And where is he from? Well, we never found that out. He never was anybody other than Doink. He was multiple people played him, by the way. Besides Matt Bourne being the first and probably the best, there was Ray Apollo, there was Steve Lombardi, there was Steve Kern. Many people played Doink the Clown over the years. Doink's hidden identity is a definite plus for him in the ring. If his opponents knew who he was, they would know if he had any past weaknesses and the type of strategy he employs over a long period of time. But the clown's identity remains masked by that painted face, the face whose smile can turn so quickly to an evil frown. All right. Page 14, we get a profile. A personality profile. Ron Fuller of Southeastern Wrestling would be proud of this. That was his gimmick. Our personality profile is, yes, Giant Gonzalez. Jorge Gonzalez. El Gigante in WCW and elsewhere. From the Andes Mountains, birthday unknown, weight 460 pounds, height nearly 8 feet tall. He wasn't, but he was a very tall guy, no doubt. Finishing move, the choke slam. In a world where mighty Yokozuna makes the ring tremble, where brutal Bam Bam Bigelow hurls his massive body about with pulverizing force, where Typhoon dwarfs men bigger than NFL linemen, and The Undertaker stands a head higher than most, Giant Gonzalez looms as the biggest of them all. Figuring how to deal with the bestial Giant Gonzalez has consumed the thinking of most competitors in the World Wrestling Federation since his shocking appearances at the Royal Rumble, where he battered The Undertaker into unconsciousness without breaking into a sweat. Some wrestlers perhaps have just given up on the idea, but most are so highly competitive that they must be planning for the day they will meet this monstrous man. If man he be in the squared circle. Mwahaha. Fringed with minimal light. I guess I guess it's this is animal-like. Again, there's an ink. The ink didn't print all the way across the page here. So it looks like it says minimal-like fur. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean? No, fringe with animal-like fur. Yeah, some of this I just can't even make out. It's smudged so much. Giant Gonzales stands about 8 feet tall, a true Goliath. His strength appears to be colossal, and his temperament more of that of a beast than a human. He is the personification of an untamed brute, evoking images of beings in the netherworld between man and animal, such as the Yeti. Yes, the Yeti. Legendary ape man of Asia's Himalayas, and Sasquatch, the hairy giant that is said to be from the forest of America's Pacific Northwest. Thus far, there's no sign that Giant Gonzales possesses even a hint of the kinder type of human emotion. Rather, he seems to live by the rule of fang and claw. A remorseless leviathan whose only goal is to rend his hopeless opponents to shreds. I love whoever wrote this. Whoever wrote this, good job, man. This is straight out of Brian Alvarez's playbook right here. This is he's using the Brian Alvarez book of vocabulary words. Harvey Wimpleman is very much aware of the fact that Giant Gonzales has been a fearsome spectacle. He understands that the monster has some knees knocking. Therefore, he goads his protege into performing ultimate acts of savagery to further intimidate anyone who may face him in the squared circle. Wow, Giant Gonzales. Yeah, he didn't really succeed that. Well, on the next page, you get this great picture. This is a great picture. This is pro wrestling through and through. It's of huge Giant Gonzales standing there in his man fur suit with Harvey Wimpleman coming up about nipple level, staring straight up in the sky. He looks absolutely enormous. You can tell they are standing side by side here. There doesn't really seem to be any trick of photography here to make Wimpleman look any shorter or Gonzales look any bigger. He's just huge. He's just a giant, giant man. And that's a really cool picture. I mean, I can tell just from a visual standpoint why you would think this could work. It just didn't work. Hey, the next page is awesome. Columbia House brings you music, music, music. Any 8 CDs or 12 cassettes for just a penny. Yes, sir, Rebob. Let's see what kind of... Of course, you weren't never going to pay for these, actually. But let's see. You could have got Arrested Development, Billy Ray Cyrus. Oh, yeah. Pearl Jam. Red Hot Chili Peppers, George Strait, The Spin Doctors, one-hit wonders they were, Brooks and Dunn, R.E.M., Bobby Brown, wow, Classic Rock's Greatest Hits, yes, you could get, yes, in fact, you could get Yes, Yesterday album, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, Steely Dan, I hate Steely Dan, Steppenwolf, The Allman Brothers Band, Rod Stewart, I hate Rod Stewart also, Eric Clapton, what a trash human being he is, David Bowie, Black Sabbath, yes, I wonder if this is Dio Black Sabbath, We Sold Our Souls for Rock and Roll, so this is actually a greatest hits album by them there. All right, this is some music, 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 that's what it says, for a penny. Plus a chance to get even more music for free. Michael Bolton. Mm-hmm. Elton John. Megadeth. Garth Brooks. AC/DC Live. Kenny G. Wow. And even more Eric Clapton. They also have highlighted here the dance beat section, where in which you can get C&C Music Factory. In Vogue. I saw In Vogue in concert last year. That's a factual, true story, believe it or not. I actually did see In Vogue in concert last year. WhenItWasCool.com, your source for retro pop culture information, fun, and concert reviews, including In Vogue. All right, next page here. We have an interview. And holy smokes, It's an interview with Kamala. Actually, it's going to be an interview with the Reverend Slick. He says, Kamala should always keep in tune with his heritage. I guess that's, you know, North Mississippi heritage. That's where he was from. We shouldn't spoil those things that are considered innocent and pure. Well, there you go. Rip James Harris. Met Kamala a few times over the years. I liked Kamala, liked James Harris. He was always a nice enough fellow to me. Let's see here. Let's just take a quote here. Of course, obviously, this was, I'm sure, a ghost-written interview. But the editor says, Reverend Slick, you have been advising the Ugandan giant for some time. How do you think he's coming along? Reverend Slick says, well, Kamala's been in wrestling for about good 15 years now. No, that's just all he says. Reverend Slick says, Kamala has broken the chains that once bound him. Woo, that's probably not going to fly in 2022. Kamala has broken the chains that were imposed on him by Harvey Whippleman and Kimchi. Today, Kamala is a new man. A new man with a new future. By the light of the man above, I know that Kamala's new future will be better than his past. His future will be brighter than his past. His future will be fruitful and more bountiful than a vineyard at harvest time. I'm pretty sure part of that was the lyrics to that song by Wilson Phillips. Someday somebody's going to make you want to turn around and say goodbye. Till then, baby. You make them want to turn around and don't let them turn around and make you cry or some stupid something like that. Anyway, don't you know you can change and things will go your way? If you hold on for one more day. You probably got that through Columbia House Music a minute ago, too. Here's a big picture of Kamala recoiling in fear from the Reverend Slick. It says Kamala and Reverend Slick, appropriately enough, because, yes, that's the people that's standing there. This interview goes on for a few pages, and you get lots of very comedic-looking photos of Kamala and Slick. The World Wrestling Federation presents Yokozuna versus Duggan. So I guess we're going to get coverage of that match. Got lots of photos here. Battle of the Titans. Coverage of a match that I'm sure was a real barn burner between Yokozuna and Jim Duggan. This goes on for pages. Oh, Keith Elliott Greenberg. I like Keith Elliott Greenberg. He, wrote this article that says, and I got to turn pages here to get all of it in, All in the Family. This Bret Hart was born to the ring. So this is, your more serious piece for the magazine, while a lot of it was just silly fluff and house ads and big color photos of, you know, your favorite WWF stars. This is your serious piece written by Keith Elliott Greenberg, who's a very good writer. All about, he follows Bret Hart home. There's a photo of Bret Hart standing under the Welcome to Calgary sign. Photos of Bret with his mother, Martha, there. Bret Hart, Superman, and Batman all have one thing in common. And also there's Bret Hart in Stu's dungeon with his kids laying on his back while he does push-ups. A fun little father and children photo there. Here's a quoted piece. We'd stand outside the dungeon and tape record these 300-pound monsters screaming and begging for mercy. Sometimes we peek through the door and see these guys all crimped and stretched and blown up. Wasn't it all strange to look out the window of your room and watch some guy in nothing but wrestling trunks howling and running from the basement in the snow, or Dad walking one of his students around the property after he had blacked out? So more tales of Bret witnessing Stu abuse people. There's a photo here. This is great. There's you turn the page and there's this circa 1800s era mean looking dude. This dude looks like he's, you could have put a caption under this and said this is, William Muldoon or John McMahon or, Tom Jenkins is later, or John, Colonel James H. McLaughlin or something like that. But no, this is Donald Stewart a Dakota legislator, and Stu's maternal grandfather. He looked like a mean old cuss, too, there. I didn't actually know that. All right. This Keith Elliott Greenberg article goes on for days and days. Again, it's your serious journalism in this here otherwise silly magazine. There are lots of good pictures here. I do have to say there's a lot of good from Bret Hart back home photos in this deal. Page 34, we get trivia. World Wrestling Federation trivia. Let's just take a trivia game, see if we can guess anything right here. Fair play. A recent World Wrestling Federation magazine included a photo feature on the Nasty Boys' visit to what fair? I've no idea. Don't care. Yokozuna just weighs over 400, 450, or 500 pounds. I guess that depends on how much they were inflating his weight on that particular week. He used to compete in what other kind of wrestling? Cumberland collar and elbow, perhaps? I don't know, since he's dressed in sumo attire. In what year did Jack Tunney become a Federation president? This was a year before the first WrestleMania. Well, that would be 1984, sir. Who left the last Survivor Series in a coffin? So this would have been 92. Is that the year we're talking about? That was Kamala, right? I think Kamala is who Undertaker beat in that coffin match then. I'm just guessing. I think that may be right. Look, I'm not as sharp on this stuff as I used to be. Next page, we get, yes, another house ad. Free World Wrestling Federation live event ticket or mystery gift with your order. The official 1993 summer merchandise catalog. All right. Awesome. Oh, and this is, okay, so now we get the catalog. There's actually a catalog inserted in this here magazine. Undertaker's got a whole page of merchandise. You can get a wall hanging, a foam urn, a foam tombstone, a t-shirt, a teddy bear dressed like the Undertaker, a Undertaker cap. Oh, there's an Undertaker t-shirt in here. It looks pretty good. It says rest in peace. It's like a full, the whole t-shirt is a print of like the Undertaker's face. Now, mind you, I would wear that nowhere in public, but still. It's a decent enough looking shirt for a wrestling shirt. Bret Hitman Hart, of course, has his page. He also, likewise, has a teddy bear with sunglasses on. A t-shirt that also looks very cheaply made. A Bret Hart poster to put in your room. Bret Hart sunglasses, of course. Why wouldn't you have that? And you, too, can get several different Bret Hart t-shirts to get you beat up at school. WWF Superstars, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage. Oh, they got to split a page. Gosh, Undertaker, Bret Hart got their own page, but Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage, you can tell they're getting phased out. They both got to share a page. And Hulk looking pretty slender there. All right. Here's how to order. Complete the order form, add shipping and handling charges, mail your order along with a check or money order for the full amount made payable to World Wrestling Federation Merchandise Department, Post Office Box 6789, Stamford, Connecticut, 06904-6789, USA. You can even fax in order. But Dave could still order that way. He could still fax in his order. I hadn't seen a fax machine in forever, but I guess he can do it. IcoPro, yes, finally, an IcoPro ad. I knew there had to be one in here somewhere. Maximum muscle mass and definition in just 9 weeks. And there's a picture of Bret Hart in an IcoPro t-shirt curling a, I don't know, looks like a 20-pound dumbbell or something. IcoPro. Do you remember what IcoPro stand for? It was an acronym. Well, I'm here to tell you. That's what the information you get here on the When It Was Cool Wrestling Podcast or the Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show, depending on where you're hearing this. IcoPro Integrated Conditioning Programs. Yes, Integrated Conditioning Programs. Trademark Titan Sports. All right, more merchandise. Kurt Hennig, they, the Steiner Brothers. You can get a Steiner Brothers t-shirt. None of those look particularly interesting. WWF novelties in general. You get, I love the WWF mouse pad. A WWF coffee mug. Looks like it's plastic. Wristbands that say Hulkamania. Oh, WWF boxer shorts. Wow, that's gonna get you some love and time. A WWF clock with cartoonish representations of Hulk Hogan, The Undertaker, Randy Savage, Ultimate Warrior, who surprisingly enough I've seen zero merchandise for so far, and Bret Hart. Let's see, what is the deal with The Undertaker at this point? Oh, here's a Hulk Hogan cake pan. Wayne has just turned 10 years old, and somebody has made him a delicious-looking Hulk Hogan cake, and it says, "The party's here," and there's Hulk Hogan. You can get a socks, children's socks. Wow, here's more cake, more Hulk Hogan cake pans. Wow, very impressive. All right, now we get to our Andre the Giant article. And this is another one of our serious articles here where it tells all about the career, life, and death of Andre the Giant. It is written by Lou Gianfrido, a giant tribute, life and times of one Andre the Giant. Should be numerous, numerous photos here. There's Andre with his short hair, walking in the ring, wrestling against Big John Studd, sitting down on top of Randy Savage. Oh, there's Andre the Giant against Ken Patera, the blonde-headed Ken Patera, so he'd been gone for a long time. The WWF WrestleMania III promotional photo of Hulk Hogan squaring off against Andre the Giant, Andre choking Hulk Hogan from WrestleMania III. See your editor's note. What did this say? Editor's note. This story has been excerpted from a special commemorative issue of Spotlight magazine, available at newsstands everywhere, that details the legendary life of late Andre the Giant. Yeah, let's make some more money off the death of Andre. By hawking part of an article in a magazine you got to pay more for to get the other magazine. Oh, and here we go. Macho Man's rise from baseball to championship glory. Macho Man Randy Savage used to collect baseball cards in his youth. He had thousands of them with all of the sport's big names. Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, Duke Snider. Savage says he would trade them with friends, flip them, and put them between the bicycle spokes to create the distinctive sound of a Harley Davidson. He was a kid doing what kids do. I traded my Field of Dreams for a ring of screams. Oh, yeah, says Macho Man, who caught and played first base for the St. Louis Cardinals, the Chicago White Sox, and the Cincinnati Reds for 1971-1975. That's a little bit true, but not all the way true, sort of. I think he mostly was on developmental teams for them. But you could read this whole article, and I bet they would tell you some version of the truth about it. Hey, here's that same IcoPro picture of Bret Hart working out. Oh, hawking IcoPro again. Let's see what Bret Hart has to say about IcoPro. As Bret Hitman Hart, I traveled around the world from arena to arena. My schedule is demanding. Every night it's a new battle against a tough opponent in a different city. And every day I train hard and heavy in the local gym. As you can see, being the best takes dedication and hard work. That's why IcoPro is always in my corner and in my bloodstream. I added that part. On road and in the ring. This complete integrated system is tailored to my individual needs and demands. IcoPro helps to prepare me for victory. Yep. Well, stunning success this here IcoPro professional bodybuilding program. But you can still get drums of that stuff somewhere. A Monday Night Raw exclusive, the red and the yellow. So here's finally where we get Hulk Hogan. When you read this, WrestleMania 9 will be history. Hulk Hogan's return to the World Wrestling Federation ring will have been accomplished. He would have come in, stole the show from everybody with a giant black eye that supposedly Randy Savage beamed him with. The truth's never really been totally told about that, I don't think. As he and Brutus the Barber Beefcake clash with Money Incorporated, the Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase and Irwin R. Schuster. one Michael Rotundo. And Hulkster and Brutus will have had the backing of Jimmy Mouth of the South Hart, who has proved that deep down, little Jimmy Hart has a huge heart, H-E-A-R-T, indeed. So I guess this is meant to come out after WrestleMania 9. Strangely enough, they don't mention anything about Hulk Hogan winning the title from Yokozuna, coming back out. They just talk about it. So I guess they're maybe not 100% sure that's going to happen at this point in time, or maybe they just want to kayfabe everybody at the magazine too. Who knows? So very interesting story there. This is not the best era of Hulk Hogan, for sure. There's words of encouragement there from Jimmy Hart. Wrestling Spotlight magazine is featuring Kurt Hennig. Mr. Perfect, of course. Do you think being perfect is easy? Well, for this man, Mr. Perfect, it is. Now, in the latest edition of Wrestling Spotlight magazine, you can read all about the flawless superstar. It's guaranteed to be absolutely perfect, with a capital P. Well, whippity-doo. Who has the best drop kick? Shawn Michaels, who calls himself the Wrestler of the 90s, among other monikers, has been evaluating the Federation's competition for some time. During a lengthy examination that, according to him, has spanned months, Michaels says he concentrated on the dropkick, one of his own specialties. While he admits he will give credit where credit is due, Michaels feels that he is possesses the best aerial skills and specifically the best drop kick in the World Wrestling Federation. So this is just one of those made-up articles that they attach somebody else's name to. In this case, Shawn Michaels.
We depend on Patreon support for our website and podcast network. In order to continue these podcasts you enjoy, we need you to visit whenitwascool.com and pledge at least $1. You'll gain access to lots of exclusive podcasts, newsletters, and more. Sign up is quick, simple, and can be canceled at any time. WhenItWasCool.com and click any Patreon link. Thank you.
We next get another one of these on location pieces here, an excuse to do some interesting photography. Crush returns to Hawaii. Photos by Reggie Davis. I guess we're now repackaging Crush as the Hawaiian Crush. Crush, the thickly muscled World Wrestling Federation superstar. Thick. From Kona, coast of Hawaii, recently returned to his home island and relaxed on the sandy beaches near Akaka Falls. I say again, Akaka Falls. Crush said that the Kona coast and its surroundings help him deal with life's problems and complexities, like getting busted for buying steroids over the mail. He still enjoys free diving. He says he's made many dives, some of which have taken him about 100 feet below the water's surface. Few men, even skilled free divers, can accomplish an 80-foot free dive, let alone a 100-foot excursion. In addition to his free diving skills, Crush enjoys rock diving, a dangerous sport in which people risk their life and limb diving from high, jagged rocks. When he was a youngster, he would dive off 30-foot rock cliffs and forage for shellfish and urchins in the crystal-clear waters. Now, he said, he has made leaps from 60, even 70-foot ledges, and does so with amazing ease. I doubt any of that's true. Maybe it is. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe he is. Maybe one Crush was, in fact, one Brian Adams was, in fact, a great rock high diver. He wrote that song I like, Summer of 69. So he also wrote War Machine by Kiss. Most people don't know that. Oh, wait a minute. That's different Brian Adams. The giant wants you, says Giant Gonzalez, as he stands there with a claw hold pointed at you. What does he want me for? I'm just a dude reading a magazine. Well, this is an offer that only the World Wrestling Federation magazine can bring you. Snack with Savage, have brunch with the Bushwhackers, or even yak it up. Well, that sounds nasty. With Yokozuna, at a top Yokozuna, not Zuma, Zuma, Yokozuna in Zuma pants. That's got to be like a... Anyway, you choose the wrestler, we'll do the rest. Just fill out the attached card, send it in, and wait by the phone. Don't do nothing else. Just wait by the phone. World Wrestling Federation, the current world tour. We get photos from this alleged world tour that Bobby Heenan told us about earlier. Here's a photo of the Reverend Jesse Jackson, a civic and political leader, it says here. Met with Macho Man Randy Savage in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Macho Man Randy Savage traveled to the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., this past winter for a noble cause. The Macho Man, on behalf of the World Wrestling Federation, donated $1,000 to KDC Lewis School and McKinley High School for after-school programs called Stop the Violence, Save the Kids. The programs, which were designed to help inner-city youth, are organized through the Rainbow Coalition in Washington, headed by the Reverend Jesse Jackson. After the Macho Man met with organizers of the coalition, he had an opportunity to chat with Jesse Jackson. Savage tells Lowdown that he firmly supports Jackson for his outstanding commitment to the children of Washington, D.C. The Macho Man backs Jesse Jackson, yeah, says Randy. He's a great man doing great things in the Capitol, oh yeah. Thinking, I'm proud to be associated with Jesse Jackson and Stop the Violence, Save the Kids program, dig it. Oh wow, there's even NAPTI 1993 showing the Bushwhackers there trying to sell WWF television. Viewpoint by Doink. Yes, a article penned supposedly by Doink the Clown. First name Doink, middle name The, last name Clown. A lot of you people out there are wondering, what makes Doink tick? Yes, it just so happens I was sitting here today wondering, what makes Doink tick? Well, hot damn, let's find out. You wonder why I'm a clown? Why I act the way I do? What made me do it? You wonder who I really am and what's under my clown face? Well, pals, you can just keep wondering. You'll never find out who I am. You're Matt Bourne. You'll never find out what makes me the way I am, but you'll sure see what I do. And what I do is lots of drugs. And what I do is bad news for people that I don't like. Some of you fools call me a sick clown. You're right. I'm sick of people in the World Wrestling Federation like Big Boss Man and Crush. I'm sick of Gorilla Monsoon's commentary. I'm sick of the people hanging from the rafters. I'm sick of most of you who read this. Not all of you, just most of you. You think I don't like little kids, but you're wrong. Oh, boy. Back circle about 1983, there's evidence to suggest you perhaps did like little kids, maybe a little too much. Check out When It Was Cool's True Crime Podcast on the exploits of Matt Bourne. Available where all good podcasts are, or, of course, at whenitwascool.com, where good podcasts are. It wasn't a little kid either. It was like a teenager. And there was a lot more to the story. And if my memory serves me correct, I think all the charges were dropped if he just, like, left town and left everybody alone. You'll have to go back and listen to the show. It's been a little while since I've done it, but Matt Bourne's been into some stuff. Let's just say Matt Bourne has been into a lot of things. Rest in peace, Matt Bourne. But there's more than moves to Doink in the ring. I'm as tricky there as I am outside it. I love to play tricks on other wrestlers, especially stupid ones like Crush. I make them look like fools, just like little kids. They get frustrated. They get confused. And then that's when I strike. What's fun for Doink? Well, thank you there, Mr. Doink. All right. In ancient times, mighty combatants settled their differences in a lavish coliseum in front of hordes of enthusiastic citizens. Today, they do it at Caesar's Palace. Read about it, WrestleMania 9. The WrestleMania 9 program on sale now, or at least back in May of 1993, at newsstands everywhere. Oh, here's a crossword puzzle. Where Kamala comes from? Mississippi. That doesn't fit. Bret Hart's nickname? Hitman. Oh, that does fit. 9. Through to the canvas. Don't know what that could be. 9 across. Maybe slammed. That fits in there. I don't know. Shawn Michaels hails from this state. Texas. 11. This magazine is published monthly by blank sports. Well, that would be Titan. Blank Beware is a member of High Energy. Well, that is Coco with the letter C. I mean K, not C. You put C in there. Your rest of your crossword puzzles not going to work out too good. Oh, WWF ice cream sandwiches. Bret Hart. Bret the Hitman Hart. Ice cream sandwich. Get a taste of the action, it says here. WWF Superstars Ice Cream Bars. Get a taste of the action with World Wrestling Federation Superstars Ice Cream Bars. Each bar packs a powerful taste. Vanilla-flavored ice cream backed with a rich layer of chocolate topped with a crunchy cookie featuring one of 12 World Wrestling Federation Superstars. Every box of World Wrestling Federation Superstar ice cream bars includes a Superstar's Greatest Moments trading card. Relive the greatest moments of superstars like Bret Hitman Hart, Undertaker, Tatanka, and Shawn Michaels. Be a part of a winning tradition when you collect all 12 trading cards. There's no match for World Wrestling Federation Superstars ice cream bars, the taste that'll win you over every time. Make World Wrestling Federation Superstars ice cream bars part of your greatest moments. Copyright Titan Sports Incorporated. Bret Hitman Hart and his character licenses are trademarks of Titan Sports Incorporated. All rights reserved. Up close. Oh, here's our Samoan people. They are standing side by side, chewing on what appears to be an actual, legit, for real, raw fish. The Head Shrinkers, Samu and Fatu. Get a nice pinup of them that no sane human being would post on their wall. It's not cute. It's not pretty. WWF Mania, Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central. WWF All-American Wrestling, Sundays, 12 p.m. to 11 a.m. Central. Monday Night Raw, Mondays, 9 p.m., 8 p.m. Central. Watch them weekly on USA Network. It's nonstop action. It's WWF. And finally, the back cover, which tells us that inside, or excuse me, this is actually not about the article inside. It's about the Andre the Giant, a giant tribute magazine. Available on newsstands everywhere April 13th, all about Andre the Giant, his life and career. And that, my friends, is the May 1993 issue of the WWF magazine. Lots of filler, lots of junk, couple, you know, decent little personality profile type features, one on Bret Hart, another on Andre the Giant. So there's a little bit of meat on those bones, but the rest of it was mostly just filler and fluff and full-color pictures and hawking merchandise that you don't need and trying to sell you other magazines and fan clubs. And surprisingly, not that many VHS, Coliseum videotape ads in there. I'm really kind of surprised. Circa 1993, I would have thought that would have dominated the magazine, but really only saw one. IcoPro, really. I expect to see more of that in the magazine as well, but an interesting look back at a time in WWF where things were struggling, and they were going to struggle even more, and the wrestling world was definitely in a period of transition. I'm Carl. I am here at WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com, and I hope you'll check out not only the Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show, but also every Sunday night, Dragon King Dark, where I currently going through a series called 100 of the Darkest Moments in Pop Culture History. And I am Carl from over at whenitwascool.com, where we have a podcasting network over there as well. I do check out that true crime episode I did on Matt Bourne for actually where I dug up from the newspapers and dug up from reports what actually really happened with Matt Bourne. He was stripped of the NWA National Tag Team titles, which he co-held with Arn Anderson back in the early 1980s for an alleged sexual assault that took place, I believe, in Ohio, if I remember. And the story is not really... the way it's told is kind of different from what the reality of it actually shook out to be. So check that out for what the newspapers seem to indicate really happened in that whole story. Was Matt Bourne guilty of that? Was he not guilty of it? Did that actually really happen? Was it misrepresented, or was it as terrible as you may think it was? But there were other things about Matt Bourne that happened as well. We'll talk about his multiple arrests for a variety of things and his unfortunate passing at a fairly relatively young age. So check all that out over at whenitwascool.com. That will be in the When It Was Cool Wrestling podcast section. So check all that out. And I hope you will become ultimately a Patreon supporter over at When It Was Cool. I need the money, folks. And I will see you here again soon with another show.
If you liked what you heard, go to whenitwascool.com.
This is the sound of the 80s. Everybody's looking for it, and we've got it.
And hit that Patreon button.
If you'll excuse me, I need to go buy a new Cyndi Lauper CD and have myself a little crack.